Romans chapter 15. Now for me, I have to go through this before you all get it. For me, if I was up here handing out Ferraris, you couldn't fit another living being in this room, could you? I feel like I got a Ferrari, and I'm going to give it to you. I pray it was something precious to me, something sweet. I did a little bit of instructing in the military, and I taught a little bit of survival in situations and in places, different regions in the world. And there's the rule of threes. It's what we just stood on. Always remind everybody about the rule of threes. You can live 3 weeks without food. You ain't going to be happy. You'll live. You'll be all right. It ain't going to kill you. You can live 3 days without water. You ain't going to be happy. You'll live. You'll be fine. You can live 3 hours without shelter in inclement weather, severe weather. You can live 3 minutes without air. You really ain't going to be happy. You'll live. You'll be all right. And then they used to add on to that, you can live 3 seconds without hope. I can go along with that one. You can't live without hope. But 3 seconds is just about none, ain't it? That's the truth. I pray I can give you hope tonight. That's something we can possess on this earth. I pray you can see in His Word, in our Lord's Word, in these Scriptures, hope. It says there in Romans 15, verse 8. We're going to touch on who this hope's to. I titled this message, A Gentile's Hope. A Gentile's Hope. And I pray we can see how important that is and what a astounding statement that is, a Gentile to have hope. Here in verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Christ came to fulfill all the Scriptures, both physically and spiritually. There were promises made by the prophets to the fathers. The Lord spoke to men of old and made promises to them. They didn't know how it was going to come to pass. But those that were His knew who it was going to come to pass through. It's going to come to pass through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He did this in the type and picture of that physical nation, Israel. That was the picture. Just like that lamb slain, that blood threw on a doorpost didn't do nothing. That was just a lamb and blood. That physical nation ain't nothing but people. It's just a picture. But He did it physically. He came, was born where He said He was going to be born. When He said He's going to be born. Everything's going to transpire how He said it's going to fulfill that physical type, and then spiritually for His spiritual Israel. Accomplishing everything for them. He came preaching to physical Israel, the circumcision, as He promised the fathers He would. But He also came preaching to those circumcised in heart, His spiritual Israel. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Scriptures tell us He came unto His own and they received Him not. He said, a prophet has honor save in his own house. Everybody respects a prophet except where he sleeps at night. For a long time, this gospel was given to national Israel. But then it was sent to those of another nation. Or as we say, all nations. Every other nation but them. And to a people not of His household. That's who He sent this gospel to. When the Scriptures tell us that the gospel was preached to the Jews and to the Gentiles, our old man, this body of sin and death, doesn't pay much attention to that. That don't mean nothing to us. That's Old Testament stuff. This is for the Jews and the Gentiles. That's a big deal. That's significant. It's a very significant thing we just read over. We are Gentile dogs. We're a bunch of Calebs. We're a dog, ain't we? And the God of heaven and earth was pleased. It pleased Him to look upon us and send us glad tidings, to send us the gospel, to send us the good news of Christ and Him crucified, the person and the work of our Redeemer, of our Lord. He came to us in the person of God, the Holy Spirit, and announced it. Told us what happened to us Gentiles. Look here at Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet, it's not fit, it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. If it were possible, would your tail get tucked between your legs? Turn inside out and go run. Go find a mountain to hide underneath, wouldn't it? You're a Gentile dog, and this bread that's for my children ain't for you. Why are you coming up here bugging me? And she saith unto him, verse 27, Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, This is true. The word you speak's true. I'm a dog. That's all I am. And this is true too. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I'm not even a Jew. She's Canaanite. But I'm a dead dog. But you are my Lord. You are my master. She said both, didn't she? My Lord and my God is what Thomas said after he touched our Lord's side when he felt his hands. This woman had hope. She had hope. This is the Christ. That's who she's come to. And Jesus answered and saith unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. She confessed her sin. She confessed what she was. Just a dog. Hell-deserving sinner. And you are Lord. You are ruler of all. That Samaritan woman at the well there in John 4. There were laws of men. Those Samaritans couldn't have anything to do with the Jews and vice versa. Those two couldn't talk together. A Jew and a Samaritan woman. And they went back and forth, didn't they? She said, we shouldn't even be talking together. And Christ pressed on. And then she asked, what's this living water you're talking about? You mean this is greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well? Is that what you're talking about? And he pressed on, didn't he? He said, whosoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. And she said, good, give me some of that water so I don't have to carry these big old jugs up this hill anymore. Christ said, go get your husband. And she lied. She said, I don't have one. She told the truth while she's lying. He said, no, you didn't have singular, did you? You had five. She said, you're a prophet of some kind, aren't you? We're religious too. Our fathers, they worship here in these mountains, out in nature. But you Jews, you all say it's got to happen in Jerusalem, don't you? She said, we're religious too. I know what you're talking about. And the Lord said, you don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship because salvation's of the Jews. But the day's coming. And for her, it was that day. The day's coming that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And she said, I know the Christ, the Messiah, is coming. I know that much. She's learned some doctrine of that other religion, didn't she? I know a little bit about your religion. There's a Christ. He's coming. The Messiah. I know about that. And the Lord looked at her. And he said, the one talking to you is him. He's standing right in front of you. And she threw down her water pots. Those things she thought she could carry living water in. That was just broken cisterns. She threw them to the ground and she ran into town and told anybody that listened to her. Why? Her water pot. Her soul was filled with living water. She didn't need those regular old pots anymore, did she? She didn't need 3 days without water. She had hope. She believed God. She's looking right at Him. There's some Gentiles that are going to be saved. That's a significant event if you're a hell-deserving Gentile. This is something I want to hear. That's who I am. I want to hear about this. Now back in our text, Romans 15. The Lord's using Paul here to remind those at Rome and you and I that Christ is going to call His spiritual Israel out of Jews and Gentiles. It's going to come out of both. That we're not born by the will of man. Some man with a fancy robe on or political office, spiritual office or something he's put himself in, ain't going to save you. We're not going to be born by our bloodlines. If mommy and daddy was believers, I'm going to be fine. No. Well, I was born in the tribe of Benjamin. No. It's not it. It's not by man's will. It's not by our birth, our bloodlines, but it's by the will of God. That's how sinners are going to be saved. Now, us Gentiles, we can have some expectations. We can have some assurance, some hope, because the Word of God. We have the Word of God, as it is written. Paul told them this. The Lord's going to save some Jews, but He's going to save some Gentiles too. He told them, and now He's going to show them in the Scriptures. I tried to do that to you. I try to tell you something, and then have you turn and look at it and read it. Heard that from a young man. My pastor always said that. He said, tell them, then show them. Well, that's a complicated method of presentation, isn't it? Tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them. show it to them. Paul says in verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. What's he telling them? He's quoting 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. He said, go read it. I'm telling you the truth. And he says, verse 10, and again he saith, the Lord says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with His people. That's Deuteronomy 32. That's even further back, isn't it? Don't be sad like, ooh, you made it through with the skin of your teeth. No, rejoice. Rejoice with His people. Why would I rejoice with His people? I am His people. He made me His people. Part of His body. He goes on in verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. That's Psalm 117. Praise the Lord. Laud Him. Honor Him. Applaud. That's where we get the word applaud from. Applaud Him. Verse 12. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Isaiah prophesied, Christ shall rise to reign over His people. And that's exactly in whom we trust. Our King, our Lord. Now Paul tells us in verse 13. Now, with all this being said, the God of hope. We looked at patience last week, didn't we? What did patience mean? Cheerful endurance. Where do we get patience from? The God of patience. We looked at comfort. We can truly have some comfort walking in this world. Where are we going to get that from? The God of comfort. Now where do you suppose we get hope from? If we need hope to survive this world and to enter into glory, the God of hope. That's where we'll get. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. And if you have hope, you're going to have joy. And peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope works in His people through the power of Himself, the Holy Ghost. Gives us hope and gives us peace in believing. This is an unsure hope. This isn't a hope that bounces around. It's settled. Settled. Just like a court case. Ain't no going back on it. Settled. There's peace there. It's calm. The word hope means confident. Cheerful expectation. It's not wishing. Well, I hope it rains tomorrow. You substitute that with, I wish it rains. It's not a wish. It's expecting something. Hope and faith there in the King James Version often come from the same root word. You can interchange them. It's a confident expectation. We're anticipating something. Now, like Paul, he told them some things and then he showed them, didn't he? So those will save some Gentiles. That's good news, those Gentiles in Rome. And then he showed them. Look here in the Scriptures. The Lord declared this from old. He's going to have a people of the Gentiles. I hope to, I wish, I pray, I can tell you these things and then show them to you. I want to have hope. I want to be cheerful and I want to have some expectations. That's something we can have in this world. And I want you to have hope. We need that, don't we? Especially in the middle of the week. Today's Wednesday. We got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday going before we get to eat again. We need something to sustain us. I need to get food. We need it today. We need hope today. We need hope this week. And we need hope in our last days. As our life grows to a close, the Lord wraps this up, and our appointed time comes, we need some hope. As the Lord prepares us to leave this world. Those Jews could go walking by the tabernacle. We looked at this before, all the benefits that the nation of Israel had, didn't they? They had the tabernacle, they had the covenants, they had all these ceremonies. Everything pointed them to Christ. The hems on the garments, the colors, the way the tent was made, the layers in it, everything. The knots. Everything showed Christ. They had that. Right there in front of them. They could go and look at those priest garments. They'd go look at that tabernacle. They'd go walk by those sacrifices and smell that meat cooking. They could smell the fat hitting the fires, couldn't they? They got used to it. They got indifferent to it. They got stiff-necked. And what happened? The Lord sent that gospel to the Gentiles. He used them as a picture, and He sent it to the Gentiles. Just like those physical Jews, you and I, we have a lot of benefits. Believers in this nation and in this world, in our generation, we have a lot of benefits, don't we? We have the written Word of God right here in front of us. You can go, somebody breaks in your car and steals your Bible. That don't ever happen to us. Somebody breaks in your car and steals your Bible, you can go down to Walmart and buy 50 more. It won't take you 10 minutes. We have the written Word of God. We have God's preachers, live and in person, in multiple states in this nation. There's not a prophet for the north and a prophet for the south. Like in Isaiah's day, is there? They're all over the place. We had multiple congregations in one state, in a couple different states, throughout the world. His gospel's preached throughout this world. We have sermon audio, don't we? And YouTube. You can sit in your PJs and cherry pick good gospel preaching on anything you want to listen to, don't you? Don't even have to leave the couch. I wonder what's next. Remember those money changers in the temple? It's drive-through church service, wasn't it? We got Uber Eats now. I wonder if we have Uber Church. People don't have to leave the house. Boy, that's company. How long do you think the Lord's going to let that go on? Makes me wonder. Those things will perish, won't they? These comforts that we have and just flow into us. What if we sent the gospel to the Muslims next? That's what the Gentiles, in those Jews' eyes, a Gentile was like us looking at the folks there that's in that same region at this time. Us looking at the Muslims. I want some hope. I need some hope I can stand on. Don't you? We know we're sinners. We know we're depraved of where He is. He's taught us that. Just like that woman coming begging. Lord, I'm a dog. You're right. We know that. We know what we cannot do. The Lord must keep us in everything. Every breath we have, He must keep us. But it's good for us to know what we can do. We can believe God. We can gather with His people and praise Him as He's commanded us to. We can trust Him. We don't do it often, but we can. He that can't do that. Don't know Him. We can trust God. We can have a sure, comforting, patient, experienced, it's got some miles underneath it, hope. We can have hope. Not hope in all the benefits we have. Oh, we got the gospel coming out of our ears. I can read it out of any century you want me to read it out of. I've got commentaries on my phone. Scroll down. Not a hope in that, like the Jews had. Not a hope in all the knowledge that we have and the light we have. Oh, look here, we can go to Genesis 1 and we can show you that that's the resurrection. That's regeneration. That's not just creation of the earth. That means a whole bunch. Here's what that brazen serpent means. We don't have a hope just in our knowledge and our light. Not a hope in the blessings we have gathering with the Lord's people. Well, I've been to conferences. You know how many conferences I've been to? Oh, we sang, we ate. Well, we just sat around and talked and had good conversation afterward. That was God's people I was hanging out with. Proximity don't help us, does it? But that you and I are equipped in this world, in our daily walk, and to leave this world in our dying day having true hope. True, confident, cheerful expectation. What's the hope of the child of God? Jeremiah wrote this to us. He said, "Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior, therefore, in time of trouble." What? That sounds like a person, don't it? Our hope is our Savior. Our happy anticipation, our cheerful expectance is a person. Our one hope of glory is Christ Jesus. Paul told us in Colossians 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mysteries among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, not the wish of glory. We expect it. Why do I expect that that's what's going to come to pass? Because of the payment. Because of who He is. You can stand up. Turn over to Psalm 33. Here's some other things I think will comfort us well. Psalm 33. You who look to Christ for all your hope of glory, you trust Him. You have a cheerful expectation that He is who He said He is, and He accomplished what He said He finished. To you, the Lord looks upon His people. How fast could I read over that? Six words. The Lord looks upon His people. Imagine that. Consider that. He has eyes. The Lord's eyes are on His children. He's mindful of a wretch like me. He looks upon His people. Look here in verse 13. Psalm 33:13. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, where He's at, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Don't matter what your position is or how strong you are. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You ain't going to run away from the Lord on your horse. Behold, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Upon them that hope in His mercy. You that honor God, you that fear the Lord. What is the only hope you have? He will be merciful to you. That's a pointed, direct question. What is our hope for Him to be merciful to us? The blood of His dear Son. Christ Jesus, our Lord. The prerequisite for mercy is you got to need it. You ain't done nothing wrong, you don't need no mercy. So if it's handing out biscuits and I'm full, I don't need no biscuits. Ain't going to keep for tomorrow. Prerequisite for mercy is a need for it. It's an inability to provide mercy for yourself. If you get a person in this world to fully, I mean in truth, honestly, get them in a state where they could tell you what they didn't even know. But they could tell the truth. And you ask them, what is your hope? What do you stand on that God will have mercy to you? What's your hope? Many people, they're going to answer just like we saw in Genesis 1 the other day. In the beginning of my journey in this world, In the beginning, me. In the beginning, God. The one hope we have is in the Word of God, Christ the Word. Christ is our hope. He is our expectation. We anticipate Him. Why? Because in Him, God is holy. He is just, and He can justify a sinner like me and remain that way. In Christ, He is just and the justifier. Now the Lord being having His eye on His people, what does that do? Him seeing Christ, our hope, in us. What's that do for you and I? Look here in verse 19. Psalm 33:19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. What would deliver a sinner's soul from eternal death and damnation? Hope in Christ. Expecting only Him. What will keep you alive during the famines of this world? You feel like you're starving to death. What's going to keep you alive in them famines? Hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. What about our daily hope? Our hope in this world. Getting through this week. Look here in verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Today. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him. Because we have trusted in His holy name. We have had faith in His holy name. We have hoped in His holy name. The Lord said, I'll save him for my name's sake. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Mercy is either full or zero. It's either all or nothing. You can't have a little bit of mercy because condemnation's still coming. Mercy's all or nothing. Hope, our cheerful expectation that the blood of Christ will satisfy the Father on our behalf. We either hope fully in Him alone, or we don't hope in Him. I've had it out, people. They get mad at me, or they laugh at me, and say, well, we're saying the same thing, and I pray for them. No, we're not. If you believe in Christ and something else, you don't believe Christ. You don't know Him. It's all or nothing. He's going to be merciful to us in direct proportion that we come to Him in hope. It says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Turn over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. When the Holy Spirit gives us life and enables us to lay down our weapons, to lay down our robes of righteousness, they're just filthy rags, lay down our crowns, our lives, all of us, the whole of me, to Christ, that pleases God that we do so. That one that's looking upon His people, it pleases the Lord. It's well-pleasing to God. He takes pleasure in His people. Look here in Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. I expect the Lord to be merciful to me because of Christ. And He says, that makes me happy. That pleases the Lord. That gives me goosebumps. What I need most pleases Him. How can the Lord of hosts have pleasure in a sinful Gentile worm just like me? I was put in Christ my hope. My hope of mercy. My hope of glory. We have a desire to be with those that are Christ, His body, in this world. I like to be around the Lord's people. I can be around the world. I can function in it, get along just fine as far as the world's concerned, but I don't like it. It doesn't charge my batteries. I like to be around the Lord's people. Those who stand only in Him as their hope. We want to serve our Lord. We want to serve our brethren on this earth. Child of God has a desire for that. But our desire is ultimately to be with our Lord. I want to hug my Redeemer. I don't want to just have a parachute to get me out of hell. I want to see Him. I want to praise Him I want to be in his presence for eternity. I want to sit next to Him. I want to sit at His feet and listen to Him. Him be my teacher. I can't imagine it. Our brains cannot enter into this. But to worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped. To sing to Him as He deserves to be sung to. Without sin. Holy worship. Won't that be something? That's what I want. And that day will come for each of His children. Those that are His, it's coming. We know. Do you know that? That's hope. That's assurance. And I'm cheerful about it coming. It'll be appointed. It'll be right. I think the Lord has some more things for me to do on this earth. But if He comes this evening, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I have that hope right now. There are a whole lot of things I don't have. A whole lot of things I'm wishy-washy on. A whole lot of things I look to me on. And I quiver on and everything else. But if you think the Lord's coming, I know He's coming. Well, I turn your frown upside down. My Redeemer liveth. He's coming for me. But while we labor on this earth until that final day when that trumpet sounds, we're going to go home one by one. Each one of us. Until He comes, until He returns. Start with 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'll wrap this up. 1 Thessalonians 4. If our Lord doesn't return very shortly, we're going to see believers in this local assembly close their eyes for the last time. When that happens, we're going to be sad. We're going to miss our brothers and our sisters that already went home to be with our Lord. We'll miss them. We're going to be saddened, but we won't have sorrow. We're going to be sad, but we won't have sorrow. There's a difference in that. Look here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. When that trump sounds and He returns with those that are already with Him, those that are still here, we'll see them coming. Those that are in the grave will rise first, and then we'll ascend with them. It says in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have a hope. We expect this. We anticipate this, that our Lord that saved us will return for His people. I have no idea what that'll be like. I have no idea what it'll look like. I have no idea when that trump sounds what it's going to sound like. I can't tell you. But I'm expecting it. I trust it'll happen. And when it does, we're going to know it. Like in the days of Noah, we'll be giving in marriage and living our lives and buying property and fixing houses and doing all kinds of things. And then we'll hear the trumpet. Here it comes. This is it. Today's the day. Lord, to you. My hope is built on Christ's blood and His righteousness. And I trust His word to be true. I believe Him. What do we do with that hope? The Lord gives us that hope to walk with. Here, hold that till Sunday. You have this. What do we do with that? Look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul said, what I just told you, take that and you comfort one another. We will not be ashamed in these trials that we go through on earth, in these sad times, in these doubtful times, in these sorrowful times on this earth. Our hope's in the heavens. Paul told us in Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, that cheerful endurance, And patience, experience. We do it over and over. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's not offered to us. It's not suggested strongly that we take it. It's given to us. There it is. Joel 3:15 says, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars, they're going to withdraw their shining." Man thinks he can ruin this earth. Can't do nothing to a star. We can't even get there in a lifetime. They're going to perish too. That's going to withdraw their shining. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope." When that day comes, the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. I pray the Lord, He will. His will be done. He's going to make Christ the hope of His people before that day. Before this life's over, He will. It's something I can't understand. There's a lot of people I pray that if the Lord be willing, He'd save them. But when that day comes and sin's no longer in this body, the Scriptures tell me that I believe. God, I believe, says, I'll rejoice in that day. I can't explain that. I believe Him. I hope. I anticipate that'll happen. I pray this will keep us till Sunday.